Hey, everybody, what's going on? It is Tuesday. So, like, can you believe it? We're officially in summer. It doesn't seem like summer. I mean, my gosh, man. I mean, I waited like all day, Sunday and Monday. It took like till 4 o'clock in the afternoon for the sun to finally come out. And when it did, everybody was like, oh, bring me the sunshine. All right, look, got a lot to get to because we've had a long holiday weekend. So what I want to do is I want to hustle up and send love to all of our great sponsors and say thank you to everybody who listens and watches, who supports these great sponsors. I'll start with our friends at 7 Mile Casino. Their website is 7milecasino.com. The inside 7 Mile Casino is Sammy's Restaurant and Bar, recently voted the number one brunch spot in South County, San Diego by San Diego Magazine readers. Whatever that means, by the way. I mean, do you hard copy it? Do you use the online version? I don't know. But I do know it's a credential that they have and that they're pretty proud of, and rightly so. So great food, great gaming, amazing location, smoke-free environment, 7 Mile Casino, website 7milecasino.com. Have a great time. Be careful. Any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. Another quick shout out to our friends at Torrey Holistics. Torrey Holistics is in North County. California Holistics is in South County. I was just talking to Doug, one of the owners of Torrey Holistics, because, you know, they also own California and they also own Mammoth. And we're going to be in Mammoth this summer for their Blues Fest. Doug goes up there. He goes trout fishing. I've never trout fished in Mammoth. So I'm going with Doug trout fishing this summer.
Wow.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
You are very welcome to come. Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, promo code GIGGLES. You save 20% when you spend $75 or more. There are a lot of places in San Diego to buy cannabis products. These are our partners. Hook it up. Medcline, medcline.com/greatfriends. You know, their CEO, Rick Slider, is a huge Padre fan. And he sent me an email over the weekend. And he said, I hope you guys had a great weekend, you and the family. Aside from watching us, meaning the Padres, decide Austin Nola was our best bet to DH during an extra inning game. Other than that, it was a very enjoyable weekend. This guy's hardcore. He loves his Padres. And he's probably, like everybody else, pretty bummed out. But if you don't want to be bummed out because you had a great night's sleep, medcline.com/greatfriends. So many people have already bought this product and have thanked us. One guy was telling me, got into this terrible bike accident, had this like sternum-y kind of chest shoulder pain thing happening. Now, guy says vivid dreams, deep sleep, and wakes up completely refreshed and pain-free. So you got to try this for yourself. You got any problems with sleeping related to like acid reflux or shoulder-related chronic issues, problems? medcline.com/greatfriends. All right. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Appreciate you guys supporting them. We'll tell you more at the halftime report. Let's get to today's show. What is going on, great friends? It is Tuesday afternoon. Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man making it to the airwaves of radio, television, the stream of YouTube, audio podcasts, and every social media platform currently known to man. We're the easiest people on the planet to find. Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios coming off the extended Memorial Day holiday weekend and apparently the official start to summer. Personally, I'm not seeing summer. I'm not feeling summer quite yet. But I was feeling Memorial Day yesterday. I was up at the American Legion post in downtown Encinitas, and I was there for their ceremony and the pledge and the national anthem and the big flag unfurling. And it was really, really like small town Americana community, man. It was really cool. So hope everybody had a really great Memorial Day weekend and we're ready to go here today. On a Tuesday. I have to keep reminding myself today's Tuesday, not Monday. Grande, I'll start off with you, my man.
With me.
You were up somewhere again this you were at the North Park Music Festival. I saw you this past weekend. And I thought we might come down for that. Like, I think on Friday I was in the YouTube chat and I was talking to the Chatlins, and it was Joe Rigby and Molly and Juliana and Tommy and Christian Hogan. And if I'm missing your name, I've just rattled off the first five that come to mind. And we were all talking about possibly going down to the North Park Music Festival so we could all hang out together. just weekend, you know, it was such a great weekend to not have plans, to not be going somewhere, to not feel like I was pressed for time. I was double and triple booked. We just let it all flow. North Park Music Festival didn't happen for us. How was your weekend, pal?
No, my weekend was great. I was jam packed with stuff, jam packed with a lot of, Browner is probably the sports he hates the most on Sunday. I watched a lot of that stuff on Sunday, which was probably the most, the least I did all weekend. And then yesterday I was basically, I was like Bob Villa in my house. I was doing some home improvement. I was up
is in it Villa?
Is it Villa or Villa?
I don't know Villa. What it, I don't, I think it's Villa, but I think even just the reference to Bob Villa is so not millennial of you. And so
it hurts you, bro.
Oh,
it hurts
no,
you.
No, no,
it hurts you. It hurts
no,
you.
No, Bob Villa. It now it is Villa. Now I think about it. Bob Villa is a big part of my childhood because he was referenced so often in the show Home Improvement.
Oh,
with Tim Allen. Like I think Bob Villa is very much in the 30-year-old range for references. I
didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that because I never really watched that show. Yeah. But I am acquaintances. I'm not going to say friends. I'm acquaintances with this girl. Her name's Deb Dunning. Do you know who she is?
Wasn't she the mom in Home Improvement?
She was the Tool Time girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Heidi.
She's the Tool Time girl. I don't know what her name was because I never really watched the show, but I'm friends with her now as like in our 50s rather than like when it would have been cool when we were in our 30s. You
she
know?
Replaced Pamela Anderson.
Yes, that's her.
Yeah.
But you know what's
I know
amazing
a lot
about
Home Improvement for some reason.
Clearly.
You want to know what's amazing about this, though? Home Improvement must have one of those cult-like followings even 20 years later because I see Deb on social media practically every weekend using her Home Improvement celebrity to be at trade shows, golf tournaments. She's always somewhere as Deb Dunning, former Tool Time girl of Home Improvement. And I what's the not Tim Allen, but what was the other guy's name with the beard on the show?
I'm pretty sure his name was Al. I don't know his name.
I don't know, but life. Him and her are like a combo team. Like they go places. Everybody wants to meet these folks.
Because Tim Allen can't go nowhere.
Oh, I was thinking it was because he was too famous and because he was making so much more money doing other stuff that he doesn't need to do that.
It's kind of like, go ahead, Brian.
What is, does he have a deal? Has he been canceled that I forgot about his cancellation?
Yeah.
I don't know if he got canceled. Didn't he just have a show on ABC called like Last Man Standing or something like that? Isn't it still running? It he just has a very right. He has a very right wing ideology, and I think
very right.
I don't know
like,
anything about
it's
that.
Almost like a poo poo if you're a celebrity to think that way. But
dude, it's like, let me tell you something. By the way, to that notion, I felt like yesterday. Here I was at the American Legion up in Encinitas, and it was a very all American sort of a thing. But I felt like the world looks at military veterans like as if there's something wrong with them feeling a way about the country. And I'm like, I don't care, man. I'm here to drink a beer and you know, sing the anthem. But I just feel like you just mentioned Tim Allen. You say that there's some sort of right-wing conservative ideology, and therefore, you know, Browner right away, oh, bad guy. I don't care, man. I'm so tired of politics. I don't want to define people by politics.
I didn't say it was a bad guy. I just said that's why you don't see him.
Oh, I thought you were saying he was canceled for something.
Damn, Last Man Standing. Never watched an episode. Mm-hmm. It was on for 10 years. Mm-hmm. 194 episodes.
What was it about? Incredible. Was it a sitcom?
No idea. I just seen commercials on ABC all the time.
He was a father in a house full of all women, and hence the name Last Man Standing in the show. He would basically have to navigate his life living with all women.
So Brown, so Grande here's down at this North Park Music Festival. Did you ever make it there? Did you guys hook up at all this weekend?
No, sir. I had a hard time this weekend. I was dealing with some personal issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
You all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I just don't know what's wrong with Scottie Pippen.
Oh. This is what your personal issues were?
He's just speaking facts.
These are your personal... Yeah. These are not like real personal issues. These are like your former Chicago Bulls.
Whoa. Don't just respect Browner.
What are you doing? What are you
doing? Anything to do with the 90s Bulls is a personal matter for John Browner.
Not a personal matter. I'll give you an example. I'll give you a quick example. Last night.
The disrespect.
I'm done with this.
I mean,
this
clearly.
I'll give you an example. I'm done with this Heat Celtics game last night, right? And I decided to take my dog for a walk. So I'm walking around the block and I run into my neighbor, this nicer older lady. I say nicer. She's nice, nice older lady. And she's walking her dog, and I'm walking my dog. and we're across the street from each other. So I, like I normally do, I say, hello. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's it going? And she starts going like this. Not good. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong?
Oh boy.
What's wrong? She tells me, she doesn't say anything. She blurts to me. My husband died.
Yikes.
I go like this. I mean, I just saw them. They're literally my next door neighbors, these people. Okay. And the guy, not that old, 75 years old, just recently retired. Browner, it's not that old.
Anymore.
It's not that old, man. 75 is not that old anymore. It is old enough that all of a sudden something could happen. You know, I mean, shoot, I'm in that range now, but it's just not that old anymore. 75. And what I'm saying to you is he's in great shape, always working out, just recently retired. She just blurted it like a few days ago. That's real life. You're telling me Scottie Pippen's real life, man? I didn't know that.
I mean, dang, you just went from polar opposite.
Okay.
We were having fun. Had to go out here and throw about your neighbors.
Let me help
your
him.
Neighbor
no, let, me,
down,
let, me, let, me, let me help him. 75-year-old people, they die. They die. Okay. You had a 75-year run. That's pretty solid, bro. Sorry. If you're living up in Solana Beach and you died at 75, I think you did okay.
Yeah, but I
know people who didn't make it to 20.
Yeah, well, and I know plenty of people that didn't make it to 40 and on and on and on. And so, all I'm saying is that my dad's 75. My mom's about to be 75. I got my buddy Corky, who's
living,
probably 80 something, you know, and I always think about Dick Enberg, man, 81 years old. One day he was living. One day he was, I'm getting on a plane to go to Boston to go see my grandchild. And later that afternoon, my man never made it out of the house.
Had a good run.
All right, so back to Scottie Pippen. Did anybody die there? Anybody die in this story?
No. I hope not.
Browner died.
Yeah. I hope not.
Listen, I just want to ask you one question, Browner. And I guess we should probably set the story up since we're here now. But how come Michael Jordan can do a 10-part documentary pooping over anybody and everybody, even a security guard throwing quarters against the wall, but Scottie Pippen says one little thing about Michael Jordan, and it's like the most blasphemous thing that's ever come out of Scottie Pippen's mouth.
Now, can I get the details about what we're talking about?
Scottie Pippen did an interview on some podcast last week. It was like a news dump. It was on Friday, I believe, that said before Scottie Pippen showed up on the Bulls, Michael Jordan was a terrible player because he was the most selfish player. All he did was one-on-one. He never won anything until Scottie Pippen showed up.
Okay. Would you say that's accurate, Browner? I mean, this is your team. This is your era.
Stop it. Come on. Listen, we all know what this is about. This is the sad part about Scottie Pippen that I truly don't understand. Because of Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen became one of the greatest players to ever play basketball. Period. Scottie is a top 50 player in the history of the NBA, and Michael Jordan played a very large part in that. For Scottie Pippen to say in any way, shape, or form anything negative about Michael Jordan is hilarious to me. It just is. Michael Jordan never told Scottie Pippen to do any of the dumb stuff he did, including marrying his wife, who's now banging Michael Jordan's son. Scottie Pippen,
is that what this is all about?
That's what this is about. Scottie Pippen got a problem with the Jordan family. I don't think his problem is necessarily with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't tell Scottie Pippen to sign a bad contract in the 90s. Michael Jordan didn't tell Scottie Pippen to fake a headache and not go into the game and have Tony Kukoc make a jump shot. Scottie Pippen did not tell Michael Jordan to go play for the Portland Trail Blazers and blow one of the biggest fourth quarter leads in the history of an NBA basketball game. Michael Jordan had nothing to do with none of that. Scottie Pippen's career, all the up of it, all the upper crust of it, is because of Michael Jordan. Period.
But the reason why Scottie
Pippen is relevant now is because of his time with Michael Jordan.
But if you're Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and you together were one of the all-time great combinations in sports history, okay?
The second greatest.
Behind?
Shaq and Kobe. Nobody's beating that. I'm not stupid. Nobody's beating Shaq and Kobe.
All right, I'm not going to veer off here.
Okay.
Do you think that Scottie Pippen is saying to Michael Jordan, yo, Mike, it's Scotty. I know who's calling me mofo. Look, man, You cannot let your son date my ex-wife. You should tell your boy to stay the hell away from her. This is going to be ugly PR for all of us. For me, you, her, your son, and we're going to become a laughingstock because now we got a love triangle going on here. And it's not you banging my ex-wife. It's your son who grew up as a little kid around her. And it's creepy and weird, and everybody's going to make fun of us. Is that what you think Scottie Pippen is upset about? Because Michael Jordan didn't tell his son, yo, man, this ain't cool. Don't do that.
Pretty much.
But I don't see how.
Oh, and to answer your question about the documentary. Michael, that documentary, I thought, me personally.
This is you that personally.
That was well played for Scottie Pippen. They asked him a question. He could have come off this the question about him not going into the game. But he doubled down on it. Like, clearly we know Scotty does dumb stuff. So then he doubles down on his excuse for not going in, and then he looks worse. For me, that was the only part of the documentary that made Scotty look bad, but Scotty did that to himself. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan shooting coins against the security guard, I didn't see a problem with that. It's giving you insight on who he is as a person.
This documentary of Michael Jordan was 3 years ago, and I just can't believe how much people, A, still talk about it.
Great.
It was great, but I only saw it once.
Well,
and
it was
I
during
waited.
COVID. We were all watching. We had nothing else to watch.
But it was three years ago. Have you guys watched it since?
No.
Okay, me neither.
I have.
I haven't. That's one. Two, it blows my mind how what I'll call relevant these guys are. Like Michael Jordan, I get it. He owns a team. They're terrible. Maybe he'll sell this team. I don't know. But Scottie Pippen, where does he come from?
Social media keeps people alive for a long time. Talking about
way
dying.
Longer than they should.
Social
be.
Media keeps people relevant. Like, you know how often, anytime, like anything that happens with a Celtic or anybody gets on a wheelchair, you know Paul Pierce's name immediately. Boom, Paul Pierce pooped himself in the finals. You know, like it's it's just one of the things that I think in 30 years, when LeBron is 68 years old, we'll be talking about him the same way. People, and maybe even in weirder ways, because who knows what technology is going to look like then. So,
well, in 30 years, according to Browner, I got no chance of being here. You know, none.
At 80, at 82?
Yeah.
You cooked, bro. You cooked, bro. You have a good time, bro. You have a good time, fam. You cooked.
All right, let me
82?
Yeah.
82? What you doing at 82?
I don't know, bro.
Come on, bro. If you live to be 82, you basically 500 in the season of baseball. That's a good run. I don't really understand what the problem with this is. Speaking of baseball, the Padres, bro.
We're going to get into it. And
they
play early.
Like in 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, they play early today. They're in Miami.
You drinking a beer?
Is that a beer? No, I'm going to say it's a Browner root beer kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Or, don't judge me. Don't judge me. You don't know what
I'm
time
not judging.
It is
I'm just.
I'm
I thought it looked like you were drinking an actual beer for a second.
You don't know what time it is where I'm at. Don't do that.
Okay. I just thought we were
on the
same
beer,
time
zone. Have a beer.
Yeah.
What is a time zone?
I don't know. You're Browner's in one of those. You're in one of those moods today, aren't you? You are.
This is what happens when you give him 3 days off.
I know. He just
his
goes
brain
crazy.
Is like.
Plus, he's got personal problems with Scottie Pippen. He got things going on in his real life this week.
He got a haircut, so he's light-minded right now.
Looking fresh AF. Mustache. I love that mustache. He doesn't like mustaches.
Mustaches are stupid.
But this one, I shaved this morning at 6 a.m., but it already has grown back here in the 3 o'clock.
And it's
range.
It's pencil thick. Thin too. It's a mustachio, dude.
Yeah, that's trimmed. I mean, that's you're trying to look good with that mustache.
Yeah, though that is an effort with that mustache right there.
That grew.
Yeah, from this morning, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
right. There is. He has some sort of machine where he trimmed this thing. He lined it up. Yeah.
Try to keep it down, man. Try to keep it down, man.
So, interestingly, this weekend, on Saturday afternoon, I was having a great Saturday. I got off to a really nice start with a really good run. Not that anybody cares, but this is going to lead into the story. I had a nice run Saturday morning. Feeling good, you know?
Did you run into any more neighbors?
No, I didn't run into any neighbors at this point. Then, later in the day, girlfriend and I, nice big walk. So, I had put in some miles before the middle of the day. Still cloudy, man. Can't find anything. We wind up going to the Brigantine. in Del Mar. And we go sit at the bar, and there's a bartender I've known there for years. His name is Jay, bald-headed guy, former high school wrestler. This dude, he's preparing his life, man, to go out on the seas, going into like the sailing industry, like 6 months from now. Anyway, great guy. First thing he says to me when I sit down at the bar, "You see Tatis?" I said, "Yeah, I saw Tatis." He said, "What'd you think?" I said, "I kind of, you know, feel like you got to earn it." He goes, "Yes, that's it. That's right. You got to earn it, man. You got to be something big before you act like you're something big. You got to be there. You got to do it already." His whole point to me was, is that if you saw Tatis's home run, I think it was on Friday. It's the one where he just stands there and stares at it. And then once the ball goes out, then he gives the giant bat flip, you know? And I like swag. I like celebrations in baseball. I found baseball to be kind of boring. I like this era of baseball. So when my son said to me, "What, you don't like it?" I'm like, "It's not that I don't like it. I love it. I just would like to see the Padres be who they think they are rather than who they statistically are." And so I don't know how you guys feel about like what happened. And look, they're in Miami today and the Yankee series is in the books and they lose 2 out of 3. And Sunday was a bigger disaster with Yu Darvish. But how'd you guys feel about the staring and the bat flipping when you're a sub 500 team and you've been way under expectations? Curious how you guys feel.
This is how young I am. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, really?
It's so second nature. Like, who?
Look at Brown. Give me this look. What are you giving me the look?
And, dude, was he mad that like Tatis went out in the right field and shushed the crowd down after being called a cheater and who knows what else for 2 hours? Was he mad at when he was like serenading them and chanting on with them? Like
no, it's probably stuff he didn't see. Yeah, it's probably saw a highlight on social media.
Yeah.
Of Tatis flipping his bat like that. Me and my son must have watched it like 100 times. Like, oh my God.
Soto,
look at Tatis Soto hit a home run. Yankee Stadium doing that.
Soto hit a home run so far that the lady in the upper bleachers wasn't even paying attention when it smacked her in the face.
Hit her right in the head.
Right in the head. And then he flipped the F out of that bat towards the Yankees dugout. I don't know. I noticed that, but I never was like, what are they doing? They are 5 games below 500. How dare they have fun? Well,
a lot of people feel that
How
way.
How dare they have fun?
A lot of people actually feel that way. I know you don't, but a lot of people actually do, believe it or not.
No, I know. That's what I'm making fun of.
When you hit a home run so far, and a person in the stadium is like, "That ball ain't never going to hit me." Bam. You can flip whatever the hell you want.
It's like, well, what? I think there's a difference between every game and overall. In a game, when you just hit a home run to take the lead in Yankee Stadium for the first time in your career, yeah, celebrate it. If you're down 10-0 like you were on Sunday, whatever the score was, and then you're doing that, sure, maybe that's
different
stupid.
Story.
Right, well, let's jump right into it because the Padres are gonna play here early in the show, so we'll jump into it and kind of feel where we are coming out of the Yankees and going into the Marlins and having the day off. Stick around. This segment of Kaplan and Crew being brought to us by 7 Mile Casino, and their website is 7milecasino.com. 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego, smoke-free environment. The beautiful Bay of Chula Vista, blackjack, poker, table games on one side. Sammy's Restaurant and Bar just recently voted the number one brunch in South County, San Diego, according to San Diego Magazine. That's on the other side. So you got great food, great gaming, awesome environment, incredible location, 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. We'll jump right into the Padres, who start at 3:40. So hang with us. This is Kaplan and Crew. All right, everybody. Hey, we appreciate you being here on a Tuesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. I should start mentioning to everybody who's listening on radio or watching on TV, and to everybody who's watching on YouTube and listening on an audio podcast, we really this year want to set a goal of getting to 10,000 YouTube subscribers. And you may think to yourself, well, what do I care, man? Do what you have to do. Listen, here's what I'm saying to you. Put it out there. Share our YouTube channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel, tell your buddies about our YouTube channel. I don't freaking know, whatever. Got to get to 10,000 subscribers this year. We're stuck at about 7,200. So let's all do something here as a community. Help a brother out here, will you? All right. jumping right in. Let me ask both of you guys this. It's a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be working on Monday. So I'm just curious, how much of the Padres and Yankees, as the Padres are going to start with the Florida Marlins coming up shortly, I guess Miami Marlins now, how much Padres Yankees you catch this weekend?
Every pitch.
Every pitch, really?
Dude, see, Friday, 10 a.m. baseball?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's good, huh?
I love it.
Yeah. See, Friday, it was on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm being honest, I'm having a little bit of an Apple TV issue. I know.
Shocker.
You!
I know. And as a result, well, I'm three episodes into Ted Lasso.
My dog
is
so concerned after my, she got up like, what happened? I'm like, right. Scott's having trouble with his Apple TV. Can you believe it?
I know.
Who would have guessed it?
I know. I did, however, last night, get into HBO Max, which is now just Max, which makes no sense to me at all. But that's a whole other discussion.
The whole other thing.
Join the club.
And I honestly, Alex, because I'm seeing so many people so crazy about Succession. In fact, my 23-year-old son finished Succession like yesterday. He's like, wait, that's it? The series is over? I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
I actually decided to jump back into Succession last night. I'm on like season 2, episode 4. Nice. They have just gone to Hungary on like the company retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember
on
that.
On a boat?
They went out hunting. They went on a wild boar hunting trip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I got to go back and rewatch eventually, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to catch up on Succession now. I know I'm late to the party. I get it. But I'm having an Apple TV problem. And as a result, I didn't see Friday's game
because
it was on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. If you want to know the truth, I can't figure out what my Apple password is.
Well, I mean, you could have that if you're putting the odds at why couldn't Scott watch something on Apple TV, the heavy Denver Nuggets favorite is he didn't know his password.
Mm-hmm. It's because I have two different emails. And so one email has one password. One email has another. It's stuck on the other email. I can't get it to the other email. I mean, it's just become very complicated to the point where I just gave up. Gave up trying. So on Friday, I didn't see Padres Yankees on Apple TV. Both you
missed Alex, the best game.
That was the best game. Well, it was the game they won.
It was.
It's the best game. I thought that first game was an indicator of what the series should have been. It ended up just not being competitive. I don't know what I'm watching. I really don't. I gotta be honest with you, man. I know baseball can be weird, but from day to day, you have no idea what these guys are going to do. No idea. Like, the pitching is now inconsistent. For a stage like that, for Yu Darvish to be that bad, where are we going, man?
It's been a weird season.
Where are we going?
It's been a super weird season, and Browner's going to love this. Don't know how much of it had to do with, you know, with the World Baseball Classic, because it just threw such a wrench into Yu Darvish specifically.
What?
No, I'm just asking a question. I mean, Yu Darvish has been bad. Yu Darvish has been bad. And he had a late start. Mm-hmm. He had a late start. He didn't pitch till what, game five of the season?
Well, if the World Baseball Classic, if it affected him, Browner's whole take on the World Baseball Classic from a Padre fan perspective would have been validated, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about saying the whole time, for the World Baseball Classic, for him specifically, I asked the question, how much did it impact his beginning to the season? Because of preparation, he didn't pitch that much, blah, blah, blah. Joe Musgrove trying to act like he is a stuntman in El Paso and hurting his shoulder. Super late start to the season. He pitched great on Friday, though.
It was nice to see Joe Musgrove strike out Aaron Judge twice, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You got Manny Machado, who's on the injured list for the first time since 2014. Xander Bogaerts, hey, we paid $286 million for a guy with a chronic wrist injury. Great to know now. Tatis suspended for the first 20 games. Jake Cronenworth,
maybe he should go to the outfield.
Is he first base? Is he second base? What is Jake Cronenworth? I mean, Kim
Bogaerts.
What's that?
Yeah. If you got a if you got a chronic wrist, you probably better serve catching balls in right field as opposed to trying to make plays at shortstop. But that's just me.
I'm just going through the list of random or things that have happened in the first whatever 50 some games that we're in already. We're a third of the way through the season. Luis Campusano, who was supposed to be the backup, injured, out till mid-July. You got a 29-year-old rookie catcher as your backup who can't hit. Your Nola can't hit. Grisham can't hit. Rognit Odor has been the second best player maybe all season. I don't know. Like, it's just like so wild. Now, Juan Soto is probably the only dude consistently playing really well right now. Like, the consistently. There's guys that have games here and there. Tatis has a game here and there. But overall, he's not having a consistently good performance. Juan Soto looks like Juan Soto. If that hasn't happened, how bad would this team be? It is just, like, to Browner's point, I don't know. I don't know what we're watching.
I'd love to hear this. I am so happy to hear you two guys say this, because Browner, last year, as Alex and I committed to being emotionless in the first half of the season, and you committed to driving the bandwagon of positivity all season long, you're now starting to get what we told you before last year. A Padre fan has scars. Now, this is supposed to be a new generation, a new era, a new time in Padres baseball history. And the future is supposed to be exceptionally bright, because you have all these star players signed to long-term big money contracts. When fans hear the money, they expect their teams to perform based on what they're buying. I know that doesn't sound fair to everybody, but that's reality, Jack. Okay. If your team spends the most money in Major League Baseball, you expect them to compete and win for a World Series. If your team is second, you think that they should be in the World Series. If your team is third, like the Padres are in payroll, you think you're supposed to compete for a World Series championship. And if I showed you the numbers right now, and Alex can do it, of what the Padres are as an offensive team and what the Padres are with their pitching staff, it doesn't equate to the money that's being spent. Go for it, Grande. Explain it.
So the hitting, let's go through that first. This has been the worst part of the season. It's not even close. As a team, they are the worst hitting team in baseball with a .221 average. They've scored the 25th least amount of runs. Or is that the right way to say it? They scored 214 runs, which is 25th least. 63 home runs, which is not terrible. 12th most. This is disgustingly embarrassing. With runners in scoring position, since we've been talking about this for the last, month or so, they've gotten significantly worse with runners in scoring position, hitting .185, which I believe is like 20 points lower than the 29th worst team in all of baseball. Like, I'll say that again. They're hitting .185 with runners in scoring position, which is like 20 some points worse than the next team above them.
So they're dead last in baseball.
By miles, Scott.
Right.
By
so miles. Right. That's the important part to understand. Yeah. Their rank is 30. There are 30 teams. They're hitting .185 with runners in scoring position. They're dead ass last in baseball in hitting with runners in scoring position, and they have the third highest payroll.
I'll take it a step further, because it's always like, with runners in scoring position. With runners on base, there's a dude on first and only first or anywhere on the base path. They are hitting like .201, which is like 20 points less than any other team in baseball. So it is like their kryptonite. They're getting dudes on base, kind of, just with walks and whatnot. They do nothing once they're on base. Nothing.
I just don't know. Again, I will repeat this. I don't know what we're watching, because I don't know how do you coach consistency. And this goes back to where we're trying to say, what is Cronenworth? Is he a first baseman? Is he a second baseman? What's with the struggles of Nola? What's with the struggles of Kim? Have we all just assumed Trent Grisham will strike out at every chance he gets when it's important? Like, watching them play, particularly this weekend, it's kind of what they've been so far this season. They will give you that game where you go, see, they can beat anybody. Then they'll get smoked in one game. You go, they can't beat anybody. And then in between, you'll go, well, now we just kind of got away from us. And that's kind of what every game is like.
Well, that's that to me. That's why, and I know this is going to be maybe a kiss of death, because I'm normally pessimistic, Padilla. I will call myself cautiously optimistic, Grande, the cog right now, because
nice nickname for yourself.
Every game, Sunday maybe excluded, they're right there. They have opportunities. Yeah. They have opportunities to win 95% of their games. They're like right there.
But they just don't.
And they just haven't yet. And if you just, you figure eventually they're not going to hit 185 all season with runners in scoring position. Although last time I said that, they got worse. So, but I mean, to me, the pitching has held up with a couple games here and there. The pitching has held up far better than I have expected. The bullpen has performed better than I expected without Robert Suarez. But
they got off to a slow start, but they've been very good.
But they're in most games. And if they can just get, and it's seriously, watch Friday's game. And did they have incredible success with runners in scoring position? No. Watch the series in Washington. Did they have incredible success with runners in scoring position? No. It just takes like more than one dude to step up and do something. If two guys can step up and get a home run here, a hit here, they're not that far off from being a good team.
The problem that I have with what I'm seeing is even when you go to the standings, they're one win away from being the worst team in the National League. One. That's like that for what you pay.
But they're not that far.
But they're two games away from being in the wild card.
Right. So here's the thing. And this is the way a guy like Kevin Acey, who, you know, works for the San Diego Union Tribune. I don't even know why I even reference Acey anymore. I don't know if anybody reads his stuff. I don't know if maybe you follow him on social media. Maybe he is kind of the Padre insider that fans know is like a local media guy. I guess. I don't know. I still, for some reason, follow. AC wrote this piece today, and his point is that the National League's not very good. So even though the Padres are bad, they're not that far away from being good because nobody's good. But here, go ahead, Alex. Why don't you read it for everybody because you got it on the screen.
Yeah, the current record is identical to the Phillies last season. They're one game worse than the 2021 Braves, two games better than the 2019 Nationals, and just one game worse than the 2018 Dodgers. All those teams made the World Series, as you're wondering why he referenced those teams specifically. At least one team that had a losing record, 53 games in the season, has made playoffs every year since 2012. Bob Melvin's A's were one of them. The 2013 Dodgers were also 23-30. Four teams that were below 500 at the 53-game mark made the postseason in 2014 alone. Mm-hmm. And the National League is full of mediocre teams. There are six playoff spots available and just six teams presently with winning records. The Padres are one of five teams within 3.5 games of the final playoff berth.
All right, hold that on the screen for 1 second. I always love this about Kevin. I'll make it brief because you guys already know that I don't like his style. There's always an excuse or there's always a justification. Hey, their current record's not very good, everybody. But hey, look on the bright side. These guys were no good at this time. These guys were no good at this time, this particular season. They all made it to the World Series. In fact, a couple of them won. So before you get your panties in a wad, just understand that there is data to say that you can be this bad at this time of the season and you can still go on and win a World Series. You can be 24-29 today because other teams have already proven it. And you can go on and win a World Series. So relax, everybody, because that's the message that my man is getting from the team. That's not him making this stuff up. What do you think, Alex? You don't agree?
Well, I love that. No, it's not. I don't disagree with maybe that's what's happening. But Casey Stern was on the show saying the same thing last week.
No, there's no doubt. It is a way of thinking that look, you know what? This is still only one third of the season.
Yeah.
And in baseball, which is a data-driven sport, when you look at all these guys, Machado, Tatis, Bogarts, Soto, Cronenworth. When you look at all these guys, and I'll just end with those five. The numbers historically suggest they're going to get significantly better. And with that will come instead of a five game under 500, things should turn around at some point. That's what the numbers say.
The biggest difference between this year and the last decade is that when the Padres fell five games below 500, it was going to be a waterfall and we're going to win 60 games this year and it's going to be 102 losses. That was what history was here because that's what you did when you had guys like, you know, we don't have to call names out, but you know what I mean? When you had a lesser roster. So now what that money has brought to this city and to this team is we still have hope to turn it around. Because these guys are good historically in their careers. So when you spend that money, expectations are that you could still turn it around. Where if they had the 2013 roster, we'd start talking about training camps.
I think we, because the track record of these players.
Well said.
Is so good. Mm-hmm. That's all we have to lean on right now. Because mm-hmm. if you watch the games, it doesn't make you feel good. Yes, they're close, but it's a different guy failing every time, with the exception of Trent Grisham. It always seemed to be Trent Grisham at some point in the ninth inning. So if it wasn't the track record of these guys, you're waiting for them to come through. What would we really be looking at? Because Manny's a slow starter. Apparently, Soto's a slow starter. Tatis was coming back after not playing for a full year. Bogarts was new to us who started well. Cronenworth was our guy, but now he's looking like just a guy. Kim came through in tight spots. That hasn't happened yet. And so all the things that propelled us last year are really kind of, you know, deceiving us at this point.
Well,
so
it's all we can really
lean on at this point is, oh, the Phillies record was this last year. Look what they did.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's what I'm saying to you is that the comparison that Alex presented on the screen for everybody who's watching of what AC published is it that's exactly what it is. It is a message of, you know what? And Alex is right. There is reason to have hope. I'm not criticizing the whole thing. I'm saying, look, on one hand, there is the let's look at the history. The history says this can be done. What Alex is saying is that the history of these players shows that it's likely going to be different at some point. Those are all expectations. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Alex, if they didn't spend all this money on all these players and they were five games under 500 and it looked like it was going overboard at that time, we'd all be going to ourselves, all right, no sports going on. But the Padres have given you an opportunity and a reason to believe that all those numbers, the Dodgers in 2018, the Nationals in 19, the Phillies last year, the Braves in 21, they all turned it around. They all went to the World Series. Two of the four of those teams won the World Series. That could be the Padres. That's what he's telling you.
Well, it's also, too, last year you had an MVP season for Manny Machado. That dude carried this team. He legitimately carried this team. The Philadelphia Phillies were the sixth seed last year. The Padres were the five seed last year in the baseball, and they were the NLCS. Would it be fantastic for this city to beat the Dodgers finally and win the division? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we all know, just get in. Just get in. That's all you got to do at the end of the year is just get in. There's six teams now instead of four. Just get in, and you never know what's going to happen. Of course, would it be great to not be in the wild card? Would it be great to be the home field advantage for the team here in San Diego? Yes, of course.
Yes.
But you know, we saw it last year. You just got to get in, and you got to – and who knows, man? Like, who knows what's going to happen when this team gets healthy, if they get healthy.
Right. Well, let me do this. Let me just have a minute here. We'll keep going. But this is exactly what I was saying. You know, I was at that bar at the Brigantine, and the bartender wants to talk about the Padres. I got an email from Rick Slider, the CEO of medcline.com/greatfriends. Really, the company's just called Medcline, but I'm giving you the website to use. But Rick said to me, hey, man, hope you and the family had a great holiday weekend. Aside from us watching the Padres decide Austin Nola was our best bet to DH during an extra inning game, it was a largely enjoyable weekend. I mean, that's what people are talking about. Like, they put in Austin Nola?
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
In that situation, the guy can't hit when he's just in a regular lineup. You're going to put him in off the bench like that? It's what people are talking about. Here's something else they're talking about. Local company called Medcline, who helps people all around the world sleep. Browner, how are them shoulders feeling?
Pretty, pretty good, baby. Put them up, put them up, put them up.
Yeah, my man Browner here has had all this chronic shoulder pain from a car accident as a kid and couldn't sleep. I had the same problem. I mean, because I always slept wrong on my shoulders, like just really bad, like arm above my head. Alex, on the other hand, had an acid reflux problem. He's like, can't freaking sleep. This Medcline system, man, can help you. If you got acid reflux, you got chronic shoulder pain. We had a listener tell us about this bike accident he was in. He was having like sternum, shoulder, back problems. Says now he's having deep sleep, vivid dreams, and waking up pain-free. Try it. MedKline.com/greatfriends. You'll save 20%. Pop-up happens. It all happens for you automatically. MedKline.com/greatfriends. All right, so Nola can't hit. So what are the Padres doing, by the way? They've gone out and acquired a catcher. Let's get to that story. Plus the NBA playoffs, the finals are here, finally. Finally. Let's get to that, too. All right, everybody, calling a little halftime update here on the show. A few things I want to promote. One, obviously, our merch shop. You can go to our merch shop anytime, KaplanandCrew.com. Now, interestingly, while there and you're checking out merch, I got a message from a longtime great friend this past weekend, and she said to me, will you please direct me to what Alex is doing to lose weight? So I told her it was called iThrive. And she's a longtime listener, but you know, it's one of these things that when you don't want something, you don't listen to it. Then all of a sudden you're like, I feel like Scott has talked about this weight loss and Alex is on it. Now that I want it, he'll tell me where to go. So I told her, I said, go to our website, KaplanandCrew.com, click on iThrive. It'll take you to the iThrive Lean page. It'll explain that this is a fully FDA approved medicine that is prescribed by a doctor and it's guaranteed to help you lose weight. And she's like, I'm going to do it. And I said, in 3 months, in 90 days, you'll have lost all the weight you want to lose. You know, so iThrive, use our website. And by the way, while you're using our website, visit PenskeSanDiego.com. They're on our website. You're thinking about buying or leasing a new car. They make it fast. They make it easy. They make it fun. Go to PenskeSanDiego.com. It's on our website. Mountain Trust Mortgage, Mountain Trust Realty. Something weird's going on out there right now, everybody. In the housing market, I say it like this. I do a lot of open houses on the weekends. Me and my girlfriend, we will walk for hours and we will go to open house after open house. Not because we're trying to buy right now, but we're just looking and trying to decide like what is the kind of house we want to buy. Anyway, something's going on out there. Prices are jacked right now. And I wonder if it's because people are thinking, get in now so that I can lower my interest rate later. Either way, talk to a pro. Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. And the last company I just want to promote, and again, Alex, if you just go to our website and show everybody, all of our sponsors are there. I want to just remind everybody about our friends at Athletic Greens because I take it every day. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine just yesterday was telling me about his son who's like 19, 20 years old. My man's got a constipation problem, you know? And I said to him, have you given your son Athletic Greens? And he said, I haven't. I said, try that. Give him a week's worth of Athletic Greens and see if he gets cleared out because it's 75 vitamins, minerals, nutrients, superfoods, and probiotics. So when you buy through us, you get the 5 free travel packs. I always carry them right over here because you'll never leave the house without them again. You'll never travel without them. And then you get the 1 year supply of vitamin D. You get the bottle, the powder, the canister for the refrigerator. It's a great product. It's an excellent subscription to have. And it's one that's going to help you make you feel better, look better, and just be more energized. So try it. athleticgreens.com/Kaplan. All of this can be found on KaplanandCrew.com. Let's get back to it. Hey, great friends. It is Tuesday afternoon. Kaplan and Crew back on the radio airwaves, back on cable TV, on YouTube, all the different audio podcast platforms. And we're coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. By the way, I got to tell you guys, very, very happy to be with you today, you two fellas. Missed you guys and missed all the great friends. I mean, I'm telling you that on Friday, I was in the YouTube chat and we were all talking about maybe we should all go to the North Park Music Festival Grande where you were this weekend. I just never made it down. Never made it down that way.
I didn't see anybody if they were there.
You were in the chat at that point, I think, too.
At the end of it? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I said, come on down.
Yeah, I know. I would have. I was just, I don't know, the whole day kind of got away from me. But it was actually nice to not have plans, to not be going somewhere, to not be booked, to not feel pressured. It's actually nice. Just need sunshine, man. If this is the official start of summer, yo, let's go. And I get it. May, gray, June, gloom. I got it, okay? And that always works just fine. If the winter wasn't so wet and gnarly and terrible. So come on. This is not Seattle, pal.
Well, the sun was definitely out at the North Park Music Festival.
It was? Really? Yeah, all day? Man. What time? Like all day? Like
the whole time I was there.
What time did you get there?
2-ish.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. 2 to 5 I was there.
All right.
And it was actually like so bright and there was no shade. I was like, let's go.
Wow. Let's go different experience. Mm-hmm. Del Mar took till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, I don't even know if it ever, the sun ever came out on Sunday up here. And then Monday, yesterday, yeah, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun was out to the point where I kind of got the same way. I was like, so like a half an hour ago, I was complaining about no sun, and now it's a little too hot for me.
I took a hoodie and carried it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I got it. So we were talking about the Padres before we hit the break, and I made mention that one of our friends, Rick Slider, the CEO over at MedCline, had sent me this email about, hey, I had a nice weekend. Other than watching the Padres put Austin Nola in a DH kind of situation in an extra innings game against the Yankees, you know, like, why would you do that? The Padres made a move to get another catcher. And I don't know a whole lot about Gary Sanchez, who they signed from the Mets. Did the Mets let him go?
Yeah.
Okay. You got anything on Gary Sanchez? Cause I got to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of Mets games.
Here is he played, I think he had like 7 at-bats there. Yeah, he didn't even play very much. Mm-hmm. And they DFA'd him, designated for assignment for those.
Was he a backup catcher for them?
He wasn't even a backup catcher for them. So he was just kind of a body, and they let him go. And, you know, he's a two-time All-Star, played for the Yankees for a long time. I believe he was with the Twins last season. Here's the bottom line. What do you got to lose?
I mean, yeah, if it doesn't cost you anything, and it's a potential upgrade.
It costs you a prorated salary. They got to pay his prorated salary of like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it, however long he's here, they pay that prorated salary. But when I mean like, what do you got to lose? Like literally, what do you got to lose? I mean, they have the two catchers on the current roster. Not
131.
It is, and here's the thing: for those watching, you're seeing.
Walk us through the numbers.
For those watching, you could see it, but for those listening, Austin Nola is hitting 131, one home run, and that one was in Mexico, 7 RBIs. This should be illegal, what I'm about to say, with runners in scoring position, which is often with Austin Nola. 0.65. That's his batting average with runners in scoring position.
Mm. Yeah, maybe they should bat him first.
To not have anybody on base? Yeah, right. Maybe.
I mean, listen, I'm just coming up with extreme concepts here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, the backup catcher, Sullivan, not doing much better. He's in 170, one home run, and 5 RBIs. Do you remember that one big game he had where he got one home run and 4 RBIs? That's so he has done nothing else besides that one big game. And he's hitting 182 with runners in scoring position. So
brutal. So to
and
your point,
neither of them can throw anybody out at second. If someone steals a base, no one can throw them out. Mm-hmm. It is it is as bad as it can be for a catcher. We are experiencing that right now.
Anything from Preller on what they're doing here? Any
basically
comments?
Just that. This is a quote. It's a spot we're looking to get more from. Gary has some track record. He was a 2-time All-Star. He's played on good teams before, been on playoff teams in New York. He's always been a guy who has arm strength and has bat potential from our standpoint. We're trying to get a different person in the equation and getting a talented player and give him an opportunity and see where it goes.
Okay, so Gary Sanchez, for those that are listening on radio that get all butthurt when like the radio guy isn't an expert on the player, tough. Never heard of the guy before. Alex, is there anything you can, like, can you pull up anything? I'm kind of throwing a curveball, but is there anything you could pull up, like his career stats, how long he's been in baseball, how old he is?
Oh, yeah, he's 30 years old. He's been in baseball for 9 years. This is off the top of my head. He played for the Yankees for a really long time. I think
all
I
you
remember.
Need to know is he's available. That's all you need to know. Yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing?
We're getting here, Brown. That's all. I just want to know a little more about what
he's
we're
available.
Getting here.
He's available. You ain't getting nothing. You're going to get what you're already getting from these other two bozos. Nothing.
Listen. In his two All-Star years, he had 33 home runs and 34 home runs in 2019.
So why he available?
Because the last three seasons, this year included, he had 204, 205, and 167.
Dude, that's a monster upgrade over what the Padres have at catcher right now.
Literally, what I'm saying, you have nothing to lose. If Gary Sanchez is the worst catcher in baseball, he's still equal on par with the two we have now.
Read those last three seasons again, please.
Well, this year, Well, this year he only has 6 at bats. So the last two seasons,
he's fresh, Brown. He's fresh.
The last two seasons, last year in Minnesota, played 118 games, hit 205, 16 home runs, and 61 RBIs. His last season in New York in 2021, he had 204 with 23 home runs and 54 RBIs. It's 23 times better than Austin Nola.
If Gary Sanchez can come in and hit 10 to 15 home runs, okay, then we can kick up some dust about him. But, bro, you available for a reason. They don't DFA people who can help. They DFA people who either they're a problem.
Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer.
They Luke DFA Voigt people.
Remember Luke Voigt? He just got DFA'd by the Brewers.
Really?
Let's bring the band back together. Let's bring them all back, dude.
Who cannot help. This guy will not be able to help. The answer at catcher, no one knows where it's at. No one does. We just hope that somebody on this roster can figure something out who we are already paying.
Why would we think that guy? Let me ask you a question. In the last segment, we talked a lot about how the reason that you're not giving up on the Padres, who are five games under 500, fourth place in the division, and has one of the worst records in the entire National League. The reason you're not giving up on them is because there is data to prove that from this position and this record at this time of the year, you can still win a World Series. That's number one. Number two, the rest of the National League, you're not that far away from having the worst record. You're not that far away from being in the wild card. So nobody's really pulled away. And lastly, the reason you think the Padres can still make a comeback is because of their star players and what their history is. So I would ask you this. If you go back and you look at Austin Nola's history, is all of a sudden a guy who's going to hit 15 home runs about to sprout out that we haven't seen before? Is his history such that he's going to, we can rely on him? I'm asking because I'm not sitting here looking at the stats.
Austin Nola,
he got to the majors really late.
Yeah. He's basically another Brett Sullivan. I think his rookie season was like 28, 29 years old. Yes, and he was a converted shortstop.
Right.
So, correct.
So what I'm saying to you, don't have any expectations, bro.
Gary Sanchez is 3 years younger than Austin Nola. And only a year older than Brett Sullivan. So it's not like they're bringing in some dude that's like hobbling around.
He should be
an upgrade, really.
They should look at giving Ethan Salas a try before.
He's 16 years old.
I don't give a damn. They need help.
16 years old. They have other catchers in the system. They're not going to bring Ethan Salas up.
They need help.
You sound like my WhatsApp threads with my Padre fans.
You also sound like a total baseball nerd. Like when you start bringing up 16-year-old minor leaguers and saying their names, like as if those of us with lives who don't really follow the minor league system don't really know the name. But you just said it, dude.
I just looked up Padres prospects, and he was the third best one. And
you sound great.
I didn't look his age up. I don't care what. Listen. I don't care what your – if you collecting the check to play for me, I need you playing where I need you playing. And right now, you think he can hit better than what Austin – what Nola's doing?
No.
Really?
Why do you sound surprised? I don't think a 16-year-old kid can come up here and hit well. No.
Brown, I got to be honest with you. I got a 16-year-old kid. Tatis was how old when Tatis got here?
Like 20? 19?
I mean, come on, dog.
When he got up here?
Yeah,
these are not those kind of 16-year-olds, man. These are Mozarts, man. These are Shakespeares. These are not those kind of 16-year-olds. This ain't some kid who's playing Fortnite until he falls asleep. Like these are kids dedicated to this craft. And at 16, if you thought enough of him to sign him at 16, and you played him in spring training because I remember them playing him in spring training. Why not give him a shot? Give him some AB,
hey,
baby.
Listen,
give him
some AB. I'm all for bringing guys up as quickly as possible. I swear to you,
I am.
Let me
go see when he's 17.
But not 16. Not 16.
Hey, the El Paso – listen, the El Paso Chihuahuas, I'm looking at their individual stats now since we're just all
going
to Google.
Oh, now we're going total baseball nerd.
Yeah, let's do it. Yoermán Rodríguez, catcher in El Paso, hitting 289 with 3 home runs and 2 RBIs. Bring him up. Pedro Severino hitting 286 with 3 home runs and 8 RBIs. Bring him up. No?
Look at Brown. He got the goggles on. Browner got on the nerd goggles now.
He's the one looking up prospect lists. He's doing it himself.
The Athletic. Keith Law. Padres Ethan Salas looks like a superstar in the making. I can't believe this kid is 16. What? So what I'm telling you, What yes. I'm telling
did
you.
Did you just read me a Keith Law tweet? Did you just read me a Keith Law tweet? From when? Show me the date. What was the date?
Okay.
Read me the date.
Look at me. Now you got to put the goggles back on. I don't
know
what that noise means.
April 4th, 2023. Get your pocket protectors out, pimping, because that's from The Athletic. He can't believe he's 16. Bring him up. What we doing? You know we ain't scared to pay nobody, because we cutting checks like the money free. We cutting checks like Monopoly Pass. Go collect $200 around here. We rebuilding parts of the stadium. Cut the check. Get some minutes, man. Some innings, rather.
Get him some minutes.
Some minutes,
get that
man.
Brother some minutes.
Get that brother some minutes on the pitch clock.
Yeah. Well, the Padres sent Brent Sullivan down to AAA. So it's Gary Sanchez and Austin Nola.
All right. All right. Hey, look, I want to take 1 minute here.
Ethan Salas.
Give
me some Ethan Salas.
You know what? Browner's onto it. You know what he should do? They should bring him up, and then they should sign him to a 14-year deal, and they could give him $150 million right now.
This is like when
giving money away.
This is like when the Padres
they already gave him $5 million.
It's like when the Padres were so terrible. We were talking about, Johnny Manziel, putting him up. Why not?
Yeah, right.
Let's get some Garth butts Brooks, in the seats.
Garth Brooks, start him at short. Ooh,
Will Ferrell, come on in.
We don't care.
Yeah. Ethan Salas.
Oh, listen. And by the way.
Okay, he's just Googling hard. He's Ethan Salas.
Boom, 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 by the way, here we go. You ready for this? You ready for this?
Yeah.
You know what's going to be? You know what's happening with Ethan Salas next couple days?
Tell me.
Going to be 17.
Oh, hell to
the
yeah.
He's ready.
He's a grown-ass man.
So this idea that, he's 16, he can barely drive. He's going to be 17 2 days.
Oh.
Bring him up. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Hit a curveball.
Yeah.
Ethan honestly, is it okay. To be fair to Browner, could Ethan Salas come up here and hit .065 with runners in scoring position?
Yes, he could. Yes, he could.
Where's he at right now, this Ethan Salas guy? Where's he at?
Rookie ball in some camp in Peoria, probably.
Dude, bring that young brother up here.
He's in the backfield catching no names in Peoria right now.
I say bring that young 17-year-old brother up here and let him hit .70 with runners in scoring position, and that will be a drastic improvement.
Hey, like I said, that's all I'm saying.
With Gary Sanchez, what do you got to lose?
Nope, you got nothing to lose. All right, listen, I want to talk a little bit of NBA finals that are now set. So stand by for that in just 1 second. Before I do, I got to make a quick mention here. Grande, I had a great friend, longtime listener, send me a message this weekend, and she said to me, what is the product that Alex is taking to help him lose weight? I'm finally ready to do that. And it just cracked me up because we've been talking about iThrive MD for 3 years. And we've been talking about the iThrive Lean program for probably a year and a half. I mean, ever since it went out, maybe a year. And you've lost 50, how many pounds now? 51.
3-ish.
53 pounds since October before you were married.
Yeah. And honestly, it was about 53 about a month ago. So I'm kind of like, me and the doc are in the process of transitioning to something else. So it's kind of been from October to the beginning of May, it was about 50 pounds and 52 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. It really is. I mean, I'll just say it like this. Alex tells the story of at his wedding, buckling his belt for his suit on the very last buckle. And a week ago, having to go to a wedding and having to like make his own loop because the belt is now so big. You got to lose weight, bro. You don't have time to change your diet or discipline to change your diet. You don't have the workout regimen. You don't have the time. Your health is at risk. You need to do this, and you need to call iThrive. 858-240-1497 for those of you that are driving around. 858-240-1497. For everybody else, go to our website, kaplanandcrew.com, like this lady is going to do. And I told her, in 90 days, you'll have lost the weight you wanted to lose. Because, you know, to me, she looks great as she is. But you know who you are, babe. Long-time listeners, great friends. Let's get back to it. So did you guys watch? I mean, I was watching. I don't know if you guys were. Browner, I know you were. You watched this Miami-Boston game yesterday, Grande?
Unfortunately, I did.
Well, better than any Laker win of the season happened last night. That was fantastic, dude.
You like that? You like to see the Celtics get knocked out at home?
Ooh, baby.
If you're a Laker fan, if you're out, you might as well take pleasure in Boston's failure, huh?
First of all, let me just as a context thing of what I'm saying right here, okay? Yes, the Lakers got swept, embarrassing enough, whatever. But then the thought of coupling that with the Boston Celtics becoming the first team in NBA history to come back from down 0-3 to make the NBA Finals, like that would have just been a punch straight directly to the groin. So the fact that they did all that and they had that incredible, ridiculous buzzer beater on Saturday night, and then to go out there at home and have Duncan Robinson shush your crowd. They got balled up by Caleb Martin. Caleb Martin was designated for assignment by the Hornets last year.
Dude. Caleb Martin. Caleb, do you remember him in college?
He had a twin at Nevada. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he played in Nevada. Those two twins.
That was like the best Nevada teams in their history.
Right, because they transferred from like North Carolina State to Nevada. I don't know if it was both twins. It was certainly Caleb Williams. And I remember him playing in Nevada because obviously we see them play against San Diego State. I was like, Caleb Williams. And then what's the kid? Duncan Robinson to Caleb the Martin. Crowd. I was like, who's that dude?
Yeah. They got balled up by Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson. They barely needed Jimmy Butler in the second half. It was great. Bam Adebayo may have had the worst game of the series, and they still didn't even need him. And I understand Tatum rolled his ankle.
I don't want to hear that.
But the Miami Heat don't have anybody healthy, right?
Tyler Hero hasn't played since the first round.
I thought Miami had run out of bodies, and I thought the only bodies they had remaining had run out of legs.
Jimmy Butler has sprained his ankle 6 times this playoff series alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. I thought it was great.
What you saw from the Celtics is what got them down 3-0, and what made them eventually turn back into a pumpkin at midnight. I don't know what they're gonna do with that team, but you can't keep those guys together, man. Like I don't want to hear about Jason Tatum's ankle. Marcus Smart was a lottery pick. Jaylen Brown was a lottery pick. Derek White was a lottery pick. Al Horford was a lottery pick. These guys, they had more talent on that team. You cannot tell me why guys who played college basketball, because none of those guys went straight from the NBA to high school or G League, okay? Why they have a head coach who can't figure out a zone, okay? Bebop, basketball for you, okay? Matt, if you got a coach who's the youngest coach in the NBA who cannot figure out what to do against a zone, he can't be the coach.
But you know what I think what you're saying, and I can't believe I'm having this deep of a conversation about the Boston Celtics. I think that this guy, Joe Mazzulla, this coach, is such a wannabe tough guy. Bro, you can't be Bill Belichick until you won a couple of rings. You know, the disrespect with which he speaks to everybody, and you go, oh, that's his personality. It's how he is. One word answers. No, he's being a dick. And my guess is that if they had a veteran coach, I'll give you an example, like a Monty Williams, maybe a Doc Rivers. I'm just throwing out names like veteran guys, because that guy.
How about that punk upstairs that was like, you know, this is too hard for me. I'm going to go upstairs instead.
Get him back down on the bench.
That always works out. Yeah.
So, all right, let's do this. We'll
shout
talk
out
more
Pat
about
Riley, man. Jeez.
Dude, Pat Riley's unbelievable. Because here's the thing. As much as everybody says that Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA, people say that. I don't know if everybody agrees with that, but, you know, he gets a lot of hype. But why not? I mean, you just look at the last – I think yesterday they were saying the Miami Heat have been in the finals 6 times in the last
13 years or something.
I mean, that's New England Patriots stuff if you win. Yeah. I mean, that's Atlanta Braves stuff, you know. Well, but that's Pat Riley.
Yes.
No, three. Three. Right? One with Dwayne Wade. And two with LeBron.
LeBron, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a great organization. And as much as you say Eric Spoelstra is this amazing coach, I think he is, but you got Pat Riley right behind you telling you what to do, don't you? I think. All right, we're in the 7 Mile Casino studio, 7milecasino.com. Get into a little bit more on this NBA final set and a couple other things. Like San Diego State basketball is getting their best player back. We'll get there next. Hey, great friends. What's happening? It is a Tuesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Our Torrey Holistics highlight of the day is right around the corner, so stay tuned for that. Plus, we were in the middle of a conversation about the NBA Finals and the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra and what happened to the Boston Celtics and Grande as a Laker fan taking so much pleasure in the Celtics' demise. We'll get to all of that just in 1 minute. But, hey, guys, nobody has given me any love so far today for my hard time, Daddy.
Well, it's not new.
Oh, Peter. You don't see me wear this shirt very often. It's not,
but we've seen it. We had a whole show about that shirt.
Doth the road hard times.
Yeah.
Sometimes on Mondays, I like to go to Hard Times on YouTube, and I just watch it like 3-4 times, Daddy. Okay. I don't know why. It just gets me hyped. Gets me hyped for the week. You're not even remotely impressed.
Sorry, I was just reading something.
Oh, really? What were you reading? Yeah.
Just the reaction to Sullivan getting sent down and not Nola.
Really?
Yeah.
Padre fans are this is a conversation we were just having about 10 minutes ago for those of you that are just getting with us.
Yeah.
So Austin Nola is hitting 180. Is it 185 with runners in scoring position, or did I get that wrong? What was it? It sounded
065.
Come on, man. It starts with a zero.
Let me rephrase.
The Padres as a team are hitting 185 with runners in scoring position. And this has been a little bebop session here today. A lot of numbers. And Austin Nola is hitting .065 with runners in scoring position. So Sullivan, the backup catcher, was sent down to make room for this guy, Gary Sanchez, that they're getting from the Mets, that the Mets let go.
Correct.
And you're saying Padre fans are reacting like, why not send Nola down? Why?
I mean, yeah, it's like Sullivan's a rookie. He's a lefty. His defense is better than Nola's. And I don't know. There's got to be some sort of veteran pitchers that are like, you can't leave us with Sullivan and Gary Sanchez to throw to. That's the only thing that I could think of as to why they're keeping Nola. They need some sort of familiarity with the catcher back there, some sort of,
Of a pitching staff seems like a reasonable thing when two catchers are both not offensive in any way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and both are not great defensively either. So they're just kind of mediocre guys, and one guy's better at managing the staff, according to the pitchers. That's the guy you stay with, no?
I would assume so, but you would kind of hope that maybe Sullivan's got a better command over it. He's already catching Snell. I think Snell's every game, so I don't know. Well, it's – I kind of at this point was like, what are you going to do, carry three catchers or just send – I don't know. It's – Padre fans, I get it because you're so frustrated with Nola. I understand it, but at the same time, I kind of get keeping him – just because if pitchers are asking for it, which I would assume someone's got to be asking like for him to stay for catching purposes.
This is a conversation we were having, like I said, about 10 minutes ago. And then we got into the middle of this Miami Heat versus Denver Nuggets. My daughter yesterday, she laughed. She said, who's on the other side? I said, the Nuggets. And she laughed. And I go, what are you laughing at? And she's like, I don't know, Nuggets. It's just funny.
Chicken nuggets.
That's what she said. She goes, are they the Denver chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
The chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
And the NBA.
So basically, you're telling me they're still good.
Chicken nuggets are still good?
Who doesn't like chicken nuggets?
No, I love chicken nuggets.
And if you're the Denver chicken nuggets, that's even a better nickname.
Mm-hmm. I still am very partial to the Chick-fil-A nuggets. And Alex, I'll tell you right now, I still haven't had the spicy chicken breakfast burrito but this is the week. This is the week.
You know what? Guess who did?
Who did?
This MF-er. Okay.
That MF-er right there?
I did.
That MF-er right there. That MF-er.
Me.
You had a spicy chicken Chick-fil-A breakfast burrito?
The woman told me they don't make them spicy.
Mm-hmm. I was told the same.
Well, who told the spicy?
Whoever told you that spicy thing was a thing, that's a lie, because I look like a fool. Because you know me, when somebody tell me something, I go, hey, let me get a spicy, one of them spicy breakfast sandwiches. She said, well, it doesn't come that way. And I said, is this your first day?
Oh. And
she said, no, why? I said, because I was told that it is a spicy. And she said, and she basically with a smile said, well, it's not on our menu, and I work here.
Yeah, good for her. I told you on this show that they don't do it spicy here in San Diego.
Which is the Chick-fil-A way of saying, you MF-er, I just told you it ain't on, now go on before I slap you. That was the Chick-fil-A way of saying.
Go on before I slap you is exactly what she was saying. So you had the regular because I want to get back to the NBA. I want to get back to the Pirates.
There's only one.
So you got, did you have it?
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
Nah, fam.
Why does Popeyes have a better one?
I wish they made it be spicy. The reason why, and this is just me, I'm not going to hold this against Chick-fil-A. Okay. I am not a breakfast burrito person. I've had enough of them that my opinion is obviously a little tainted. They all taste the same to me. This felt very dry. The chicken was very good, but that's to be expected at a place that is called Chick-fil-A. So outside of that, it just seemed like a regular boring ass breakfast burrito. So sorry.
Alex,
do you know what I had? No, but we all know what he feels about breakfast burritos. So his opinion doesn't count. Why would I ever put it into any sort of validation when he says all breakfast burritos suck? Because it's just blasphemous. Mm-hmm. I had an eggs Florentine breakfast burrito this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, sir.
Why is it called eggs Florentine?
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know why it's called eggs Florentine.
What's the Florentine part of it?
You something you don't know what it's called? You don't know why it's called
eggs Florentine is a type of eggs. It's like with like poached eggs and spinach and like a goat cheese, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular burrito also added chorizo French fries.
Ugh.
So like they made French fries, stirred it up with some chorizo, put it in a breakfast burrito. Bro, I'm telling you.
Sounds bomb.
Goat cheese in a breakfast burrito? My goodness.
Sounds bomb.
This guy thinks every breakfast burrito is good. So his opinion doesn't count either.
Well, I don't think that sounds fire. That sounds fire.
I've had some truly terrible breakfast burritos in this city because I feel like everybody thinks they can make a breakfast burrito thinking like this man, but you can't because you need to actually have some quality and substance in those things.
I'm going
to
tell you guys right now that on Sunday I had a breakfast sandwich that when I tell you the ingredients, you're gonna be like, what's so special about that? And the answer is nothing, but it was bomb. I mean, I wanted it again the next day. It was like a toasted bread, not like a big thick Texas toast or a French toast, but like, I don't know what it was. And eggs over easy and bacon, avocado, and straight up American cheese, dude. I don't know what was so unbelievable. It was this bread was like soft and like cushy, but like, I don't know, but yet it was crispy and crunchy, you know? And then there was
You were just really hungry.
I think it was exceptional. I'll go back and try it again. All right, let me do this. Hold on. Time out. Cause we're going to go in a completely different direction.
Save it for the uncensored.
Yeah. We'll save it for uncensored. We were talking about the NBA finals, which are now set. Now, Alex here, as a Laker fan, taking tremendous pride after the Lakers being swept 4-0 by the Nuggets, to see the Celtics claw back from down 3-0, to get into a position to make history, to be the first team ever to come back from 3-0 down in the Eastern Conference Finals, to make it to the NBA Championship. But they got beat at home by the Miami Heat.
Crushed.
Yeah, destroyed, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So after the game, Jason Tatum, the star of the Celtics, who got hurt on the first offensive series of the game, first possession, comes down, twists his ankle. He's limping the rest of the game. All right, we're looking at it right now. Brownie, you don't like this?
Oh, that
left ankle looks so bad.
Mm.
So what did Tatum say after the game? Because, I mean, to lose at home like that, what do you have to say?
I saw the video. I saw it after the game that, you know, I came down. You know, on my ankle, and it's tough because it, you know, kind of impacted me the rest of the night. Swelled up, and it was just frustrating that I was kind of like a shell of myself. It's tough to move.
Okay, all right. So,
listen, man, these guys idolize Kobe Bryant. They idolize him.
This is the same dude that last year in the NBA Finals before the Game 7 texted a dead Kobe Bryant, "I got you today, bro," and then posted it on social media.
These guys idolize Kobe Bryant, but you get a little boo-boo on your ankle, and now you can't do nothing, okay? Do they not understand what made Kobe Bryant great? This guy just said, "I looked at the replay on my ankle, and I looked at it again after him." What the hell are you looking at it for? It's your foot. Does it hurt? Does it not hurt? It's your leg, bro. Go hoop. Yes, everybody's hurt this time of the year. Go hoop, bro. Go hoop. Then if you can't hoop, get out the damn way and let the team function at a normal speed and pace. But no, oh, look at me. Oh, I'm limping. Oh, when I'm on defense, I'm limping. When I got the ball, I can go full speed. Get the hell out of here with that, man. Did it affect him? It probably did. But at the end of the day, no one cares, bro. You didn't even try shoot.
That's the whole key. No one cares.
You didn't create no for your teammates.
Dude, the other team is hurt.
You didn't decoy. Like, Jimmy Butler's hurt. Gabe Vincent's hurt. Like, same ankle sprain that you had, Gabe Vincent had. Well, he out there hooping. Not effectively, but he hooping. You didn't even shoot the ball. You didn't even try. You didn't even try in the first half. So miss me with all that, man. Miss me.
Miss
with
him.
All that.
Miss him.
Miss him with all that. Miss him with all of it. All of it. Miss him.
All that.
Even if you don't know what missing somebody means, miss that brother.
Yeah.
Miss me with that, bro.
Jaylen
Brown, go to dribbling school in the offseason, bro. I like you. I like Jaylen Brown a lot, bro. You got to learn how to dribble. You've been in the league too long. You can't dribble between two people.
They have dribbling coaches. They got guys who specifically
dribble doctors, shot doctors. Yes. Yeah. Yes. He needs to go to one.
Guy's eligible for a $300 million extension, Jaylen Brown. I saw him earlier today. $300 million extension. You mean to tell me that dude can't dribble?
No. Watch him. Watch him. It's notorious. He's notoriously known for turning the ball over because he can't dribble. Mm. Bad for a guy making $300 million.
Caleb Martin made more threes than Tatum and Brown combined in the series. That has nothing to do with your ankle in game 7. That is a
nothing,
series.
Dude. Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, by the way, for that kid.
He finna get paid.
Yeah.
Good for him. He just got paid.
Oh, he is?
He's signing a 3-year, $21 million contract.
Then good for him again.
He underpaid now.
any more of this Tatum stuff, though? Like, is there anything else that happens?
Well, I just wanted to show Browner that it was a serious injury. You know, he had a big limp after.
Oh.
Very big. Needed help.
Does he have a jacket on with Kevin Garnett on the back?
Yeah, it's an anything is possible jacket. He should have not worn that after the game.
What's an anything
is possible
jacket?
Right, take that off.
When their one title?
Yeah.
And they were they down on, to the Lakers like, big?
Come on, man.
I'm acting like I don't.
That?
What? Why Doc Rivers that? Overrated. That's why.
Come on. Wow. He beat the Lakers.
Please.
He beat the Lakers. No, how the Lakers, overrated to be? If he the beat Lakers the Lakers.
Lakers lost that series.
Gosh, I always tell people who listen on radio, you should always come watch the YouTube show. Seriously, like just to watch Browner on camera when he's making his points, when he leans his head in, when he opens his eyes real wide, when he makes his shoulders down low. He beat the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. He does have this like.
He beat the Lakers.
He does have this like head roll, right? Like,
right.
Like yeah. I'm going to.
It's funny to watch.
Yeah.
But he did though. Did he not?
He did it again.
But he did.
Yeah, the Lakers.
Being the Lakers doesn't make you rated. I mean, he's still overrated as head coach.
Let me ask you guys a question. So during this game yesterday.
Unemployed.
And I want to get to the highlight of the day. So just give me one last thing on this. During this game yesterday, did LeBron send out like some sort of a message hey, I know everybody's watching basketball. The whole world's watching basketball. It's game 7. Whole world's watching. Everybody, listen, I just want to make sure that everybody knows I'm still the king here. What is this that LeBron sent out?
That's a Jay-Z quote. This is a Jay-Z quote. At the end of the Black Album, he ends the album. The song's called What More Can I Say? And this is like one of the mic drop moments of the song.
What More Can I Say is the name of the Jay-Z song. It's the Jay-Z joint. Is that right?
Yeah, it's from the Black Album. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm supposed to be number one on everybody list. We'll see what happens when I no longer exist. And LeBron sends that out with a picture of him still in high school. What is that? But what am I supposed to receive from that?
You're going to miss me when
I'm gone. He's bored. Listen, man, there
he's
will be
retire.
A 2-year period. When he retires, there'll be a 2-year period where everybody misses him. Because that when Jordan did it, it was the period. When Kobe Bryant did it, that was a 2-year period where people missed him. There will be a 1 to 2 year period where people miss LeBron James playing.
Honestly,
after that,
I don't think the Kobe thing is accurate because Kobe was so hurt at the end of his year. Like we felt like we never had him. But I get what you're saying.
True.
I get
that
what you're saying.
True.
This is just I always rally against how the NBA doesn't know how to cover itself What I mean by that is all their television partners have no idea how to cover the NBA without talking about it as a grand, as a whole. They can't just focus on what's happening right now in this season. You're having Nikola Jokic having one of the best seasons of all time, carrying the Nuggets to the first ever finals appearance against what the Heat were down in the fourth quarter of the Bulls in the play-in tournament. And all of a sudden they're in the NBA finals. But yet everybody wants to talk about LeBron James retiring because they have no idea how to not talk about GOAT talk or legacy, because the NBA has no idea how to talk about itself. No clue.
And the problem is, at this point in their careers, Jokic is better than LeBron. And no one wants to say that out loud, but it's true. LeBron,
why not?
LeBron is because you can't be, he's supposed to be the GOAT to a bunch, to a guy like your guy. George Sedano, I almost called him Jeff.
Jeff Sedano.
To George Sedano, because I know I'm great with names. Will he even publicly say, without any caveats, that Jokic is better than LeBron right now? Can he say that without offending LeBron's people?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm just guessing. I mean, what the hell do I know? What am I? I'm a freaking spokesperson for the guy?
If you're NBA.
I would answer for you. I'm comfortable enough knowing you that I would answer that question for you.
Yeah, what would I say? What would he say?
You would say yes. Because you're a LeBron hater, so.
I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm a LeBron realist.
I knew you were going to say that. You were going to say realist.
Why? Well, I mean, I'm a LeBron observationalist.
I'm not a LeBron kiss ass. You would say that.
I'm just somebody who watches, and then I call it the way I see it. I don't have any relationship with LeBron. I don't have any relationship with his people. Nobody's calling me, inviting me to lunch, saying, "Hey, take a listen to this," and then I go running to the air and I tell everybody what I heard. I don't do that. I don't want anything to do with that.
The NBA.
I'm a realist, Alex. Mm-hmm.
The NBA is about to have one of their more generational players in the history of its game play for the championship, and we're talking about LeBron James's Instagram post. Alex is correct. The NBA does it wrong. Victor Wembanyama. The NBA is great with things that aren't currently happening. They'll talk about something that is either past or something that is about to happen, but never the thing that's right in front of you, unless it's Steph Curry or LeBron James. Outside of those two dudes, they don't talk about anybody. Because Giannis is one of the best players. He's not playing. So guess what? He don't get the same treatment. Like
when you watch NFL coverage, there isn't consistently, every single day, there isn't lists on TV.
Right.
List Patrick Mahomes amongst the greatest quarterback. Like, do they exist? Of course. But they exist because it's like Stephen A., and his television show, and Skip and his television show, because that's how they cover the NBA. So we got to cover football sometimes like that. But if you watch like NFL coverage, it's not like, let's list where Mahomes is. Where's Joe Burrow on this list of greatest of all time? Such an annoying conversation.
I know. It's like the MVP conversation in the NBA, how much people put into that. I know.
Oh my God, dude. Does anybody talk more about MVPs than the NBA?
I know.
And all but defensive league and how much disrespectful it was. And Anthony Davis didn't make the all NBA defensive. Oh my God.
Well, let's finish this in the uncensored, because I want to get to the highlight of the day. Can we do that?
Oh yeah.
And we do.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Highlight of the day is brought to you by Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. The promo code is Giggles for today and tomorrow. I have emailed them to figure out if we're switching it to June. I'll get that info for you probably tomorrow. The promo code for today and tomorrow is Giggles. Spend $75, get 20% off your purchase at Torrey and California Holistics. Okay. I know. This is more relevant. Padres got money, and they're just going to keep spending that money because now Petco's getting renovated. No, we're not bringing the fences in to help our baseball team out. Not that. Let's spend $20 million and redo something that's already dope, because the Padres have decided that they're going to redo Gallagher Square. And you know I love a rendering, and I got me some renderings. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, come to the YouTube show and watch it out. They are going to move the Little League Stadium outside to the right. They're going to add more almost bleacher seats. They're going to have an expanded video board. They're going to make the Tony Gwynn statue more prominent. They're going to put a full-time concession stands out there. They're just redoing all of Gallagher Square. They're adding a big children's playground in the back over by Island Street. Those two gates in the back where like Social Tap is, they're going to make more gates to come into the stadium. So the Padres updating Gallagher Square. That's your highlight.
Dude.
Unlike most renderings. No, unlike most renderings, I like this.
No,
actually,
I don't like
it. I like this a lot. I think I like it a lot, actually.
What they're doing is, what they're really, really doing is they're saying that stage area, that is where they're going to start to have more concerts.
A lot
more. Yeah. And so what they're doing is they're saying, hey, this little league thing here, the wiffle ball field, which was very wholesome, it's got to go.
It's in the way.
It's now in the way. So let's find a little tiny. And it is. It is in the way of their business. There's no question about it. There's no question.
We love
about
the kids, but they got to play in the back.
By the way, I get all the PR emails about who's coming to Gallagher Square. It is a lot of concerts to Gallagher Square.
That's exactly my point. So, like, they're going to have monster concerts inside Petco, but they're competing now to get, like, big acts. And that is going to be, you know, one of the newer, better outdoor venues. All right, hold on. Everybody listening, go to YouTube. Let's get uncensored. Radio listeners, lots more to get to from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, let's get uncensored here, everybody. Let the radio replay what we just did, and let's all of us hang out together. This is stuff that nobody in radio, TV, et cetera, gets. It's just, you know, all the off the traditional media and onto the newer media. Browner, it's funny you were saying during the show, this mother effer right here, this mother effer, because I told you guys a story last week about how Rachel and I go someplace, and I'll be like, look at this motherfucker. Look at this motherfucker right here. And she'd be like, which motherfucker are you looking at? I don't know who you're talking to. Right. And I think I just turned into Lawhead for a second. And so I would say to her, that motherfucker right there in the blue t-shirt with the green hat, that motherfucker right there. She's like, oh, that motherfucker. So now, like, she and I have like an ongoing bit now where not only do I have to give her extra identification tools when I'm talking about a particular motherfucker, but she'll even say to me now, see that motherfucker right over there with the green hat? I'm like, now I say, and Browner, continuing in the spirit of communication, I explained to Rachel, I really am getting very tired of her cutting me off. You know, I'm tired of her walking on my right and making a left turn without giving me any notice of any kind. So now what she does is she'll be like, hey, in like 6 feet, I'm going to turn left. So she's giving me like a little bit of a heads up to know. And I got to tell you something.
Nice.
That's communication in a relationship right there, boys.
So that joke is up to a minute and maybe 30 seconds.
Put
a little more in there. You can get that to 3 minutes.
Yeah, I could probably get a little more out of that.
A little more umph.
Yeah.
Maybe some more pauses.
Yeah.
Some more reenactments because it's physical comedy too. Right.
Yeah. So when I opened for Browner as his manager, I said, hey, Brown, I save money on us. We don't have to hire other comedians. I just get up. I do my 10 minutes. I hand off to the superstar. That's you, baby.
Yeah. It's like Puff Daddy and Mace. It's like Puff Daddy and Biggie. You know, Scott's Puff Daddy. He's the producer.
What the fuck is happening right now?
Manager. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hey,
he's a producer dancing all up in your videos. Yeah. That's a Suge Knight reference right there.
Brown,
I help. Listen, together we bring a lot of demographics together, man. We got a good team here, I think. It's kind of like you and Skinny back in the day.
Browner wasn't Skinny. He was Snatch.
Browner was Snatch. Yeah. And the rapper was a white guy named Skinny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, Brown?
Yes, that's accurate. 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Videos, pictures to prove it.
I wish there are videos. Is there any place ever on YouTube I could find Skinny and Snatch?
This is where technology failed us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're too late.
We weren't balling like that. We didn't have any cameras around at the time. Mm-hmm. Luckily.
Mm. Looks like Succession is continuing.
No way. They're going to have another season now?
No, it's happening in the NBA now.
Oh, really?
Myers out.
Bob Myers stepped down and Joe Lacob is giving the keys to his son.
No way.
Yep.
No way. So Bob Myers is the GM of the Golden State Warriors. He's been there like 12, 13 years.
President and GM of the Warriors stepped down.
Yeah.
Rumors are he's coming to the Clippers.
Oh.
Rumors.
Wow.
That would make sense because the Clippers just had their general manager move to Washington to run all their basketball operations. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Joe Lacob, according to Woj, is seeking more prominent roles for his son, Kirk.
Okay.
So, Succession, NBA.
All right.
This is how it fails. Yeah.
I can't believe how far back I went. Last night, season 2, episode 3, and I watched Succession. How many seasons are there total thus far?
4.
There's 4 total.
And it's over.
Right. So now if I do it right, I could probably catch up within the next like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
I never seen an episode.
Well, and I mean, everybody's talking about it. I mean, I saw like bar parties when something happened, and I don't even know what it is, but people are like raving at the bar, cheering at something happened.
Oh, that was me.
Oh yeah,
I tweeted that.
Yeah, what was that?
Don't worry about it. It's a big spoiler.
Okay, don't tell me.
Yeah, don't watch
it. Dude, I went to when the Breaking Bad had their very last episode. I went to a bar party to watch it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That cracks me up. The idea of bar parties, like it's a game.
Started with Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I think Game of Thrones was the first show where people were like going places to watch it, like it was a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was better when you watch it, because if you watch it amongst a group of people who know what the fuck is going on, every twist and turn, it feels like a movie. It feels like a sporting event. Yeah,
when
Stranger
Things did the two three hour episodes or whatever it was, instead of doing a full season, and we did a watch party, and it felt. And if you have questions, you'd be like, what the fuck's going on?
Right. Correct. It's the best way to end the season. Yeah, it's the best way to end a season or a show.
Yeah. My you know what gets me? And this is another thing. You talk about your girlfriend cutting you off while walking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that Mara does to me. Oh, is the door?
Here's Alex's bit.
So we're watching any show
for
the first time. We're watching it together. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Why her asking me?
Right.
Like I know. I don't know. I'm watching it with you.
First time I'm seeing it too. Yeah, what do I know?
What do I know?
How the fuck would I know?
Yeah. Like, what do you? Why are you at? I don't know. I'm watching it with you. And then like their annoyance of me not knowing.
Right.
I'm like,
you have to think about that a little differently, which is, God, she thinks I'm smart as fuck.
You know what I do?
That I already know.
I just make some shit up. They don't know. Yeah. I don't know either. I just make some shit up. The movie's about the future. I'm like, oh, that's like the laser program. I just make shit up. I don't know either. Mm-hmm. If you gonna watch some shit, if we start watching at the same time, you ask me a question that you clearly know I don't fucking know, I'm gonna tell you whatever. I'm just gonna tell you some shit.
This is a good bit.
And we'll see if it works out.
Yeah. It's a good bit. Right here, Browner. This is a good bit. You go from, you know, like your girlfriend making things difficult when you're walking to her making things difficult.
Joke.
But we're helping. We're writers. We can be writers.
During a writer's strike too. Damn.
Oh hell yeah!
I will use the TV one.
All right. Hack. You freaking hack. You took my bit.
Stole my bit, dude.
Freaking hack.
Yeah. Make sure you give me credit via like people say via Woj. Just fuck via Grande, dude. That joke right there.
Right.
What's the deal? With girlfriends. No,
this how you'll get your credit.
Asking you questions. About a show we watched together.
For the first time. I'll be like, I was talking with a friend of mine, man, and this came up. Do you guys have this problem? And that'll be your.
No, don't fucking friend me. No, you say my name like people know me.
Yeah, I was talking to my boy Grande.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
fucking Fluffy does that. Like he just references his boy. I forget his name, and he's like Martin. Like Gabriel Iglesias, his boy Martin, like Martin became a character. Make me a character.
Yeah. So I was talking to my boy Grande.
Yeah.
Do you know that his lady and him will start a series together, and in the middle of episode one, she'll be asking him questions as if he's already seen the series five times and he knows the answers.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And here's what I told him. And then you make it your bit.
Good?
And then you make it your bit.
Yeah. Is that good?
Look at it, he's writing it down.
Look at it. What?
No, I just thought of something else that I'm going to add to it.
Oh, add to it. Yeah. See, this is a brainstorming session.
It's like we're in court session and someone's typing everything we're saying right now.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are they called? Stenographers?
Court reporters.
Yes. No, stenographers.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a stenographer. I don't think so.
This is like the person who draws the picture.
Yeah, stenographer, a person whose job it is to transcribe speech in shorthand. Yes.
See, transcribe speech and shorthand. But a court reporter's job is to
report what happened in the court.
Is to write everything down that happens. Not report shorthand.
Stenographer.
What are you doing?
This right here? This is a gesture right here.
That's a stenographer.
Fucking typing dog.
As a stenographer.
No. And they even have different machines. They don't even have full keyboards.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's right.
Because they want to get everything.
No, not court reporters. Stenographers.
All right, I'm done with this.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm not arguing over stenographers. Beep bop. What are we going to do? Fucking get into a full-on Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp debate about stenographers?
We're trying to not make Browner look like a dum-dum on stage. We want to be accurate here.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although sometimes looking like a dum-dum on stage is funny. So
maybe
call it court reporter. We're on to the brainstorm session. This is what happens, you know? Dude. I was listening to an interview with some of the dudes from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They're on season 37 or something like that. And they still fight about the stupidest shit because they want to make it as good as possible.
I think we have a new spinoff to the podcast. It's Browner's stand-up brainstorming sessions where we all come together and we all just throw ideas at Browner for jokes. I like this idea a lot.
And they're not even jokes. It's just like what happened in our life.
Real life.
Browner's not a joke teller. He's a life observer.
Right. He is. Like when he said, hey, when he talked about Tiger Woods the other day, he's like, did you know that Tiger Woods broke up with his girlfriend and he had to hire a lawyer to do that? Like he told the whole story. He had his lawyer fucking tell a girl, you're done. Out. You know, all lied to her. They're going on vacation. Like Browner, this is like real life shit we need to be talking to you about.
Email me.
You know how rich I want to be? How rich?
Oh.
I want to be so rich. My attorney breaks up with my girlfriend on the runway of my private jet.
Right. That's how rich I want to be.
Yeah.
Want.
Yeah.
See, now there's a whole other joke there, Brown. Yeah. There's a whole other joke about what you are. This is how rich I want to be, but this is what reality is.
Instead, I break up with bitches next to my rearview mirror made with duct tape.
Right. Instead, I break up with bitches like on the phone in my Honda with my fucking rear view on with duct tape while Tiger is fucking having his lawyer do that shit as he's flying off in his private jet.
The better joke there the more the closer to gravity joke is.
Yeah.
If I want to be so rich, I can break up with a girl like XYZ. But I'm so fucking poor, I can't break up with this bitch because I got to keep splitting the bill.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. I can't even break up with this bitch. I want to break up with the bitch. Can't break up with this bitch. Tiger got so much money, have a lawyer break up with the bitch. Me, I can't even break up with the bitch.
And then you explain multiple reasons as to why you're so poor that you can't break up with the bitch.
Right, right. Yes. Like, I put it this way. Guys who have their rearview mirrors hanging on their car with duct tape, we don't break up with bitches. We keep bitches to split the bills. Like, this is funny. This is funny shit.
I'm glad we hashed this out.
All right. I got to go.
This is my
favorite
uncensored bit.
We got to go. Much love. See you guys tomorrow. Peace.